All right, I guess we're in. Welcome to Forever Exile 233. I'm just Nick A-Tags.
And I'm Tyler, Wrecker of Days.
This is an unedited episode, if it airs.
We'll find out. That's right. Otherwise, you're getting a 30-second
30
clip
second.
Thanking you for your time.
It's a glorious episode. So yeah, we're 233, and I'm in a hotel, so hopefully it sounds all right. But this is it. This is what you get. Patrons, we love your faces. Thanks so much, Patreon, After Dark. That's what you get by being a Patreon. So sign up. It's just more of us. It's actually a real episode this week too. So
yes, that's right. We already recorded it because we were able to do that ahead of time. And half of it was legit chit-chat, which we weren't expecting. But the other half is trying to guess what this league was going to be like prior to the announcement. We recorded it the day before the announcement. We recorded Wednesday. Announcement was our Thursday. Today's Friday. Justin's just living.
It was pretty
the dream.
Bang on. We pretty much were bang on with our guesses.
Well, oh man, how do we say this? If you are an After Dark listener, listen to After Dark first and then listen to this, because we'll just be making fun of ourselves the entire time for how way off we were.
We were a little bit off, just a little bit.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter because you've already read the patch notes, so who cares what order you watch it in or listen to it. Look at me.
You got it. You're on the ball. How's your week been? How's life?
Great, Justin. Great. Checking the weather forecast, you know, like the weather's never completely predictable, but looks like we're going to have a very cold April. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not waiting. I went out and I bought 6 different bags of dirt from Home Depot and I laid it all out. I want to see which one, like,
what do you mean different bags, like different kinds of dirt?
Yeah, like some Vigoro, some Scotts, some whatever, and some of it's black earth, some of it's like just a, like, I don't know, whatever, dirt, and some of it's potting soil, whatever it is. All this different. I know, my square's so cheap. Yeah, you guys are going to hear a lot
of stuff.
You're going to
hear everything. Normally this is all cleaned out.
But anyway, I bought 6 different bags of dirt, all within kind of my price range if I was to buy, you know, 10 or 15 bags of dirt. I want to see which one was, like, the nicest, which was the least woody, because, you know, they always huck those stupid wood chunks in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were all loaded with wood, so it all kind of sucked. I went through all the extra effort of, like, making a spreadsheet for their prices and sizes, and I'll go tell my son to stop playing hockey in the hallway in a sec.
But I then, can't hear it, so.
Oh, okay, good. And then I went and... Oh, there it goes. Silences normally get edited out too. Oh, and then I planted seed over top of it as well. So it was good. I planted some seed and I'm on a watering schedule, fixing it. My attempts at trying to do my lawn lazily, really, like, half my lawn is just brown now. With, like, all my attempts of trying different things of how to maintain my lawn. So I'm, like, in saving mode. It looks like I have the worst lawn in the neighborhood, which you never care. You never compare. But I like having a nice lawn, and it looks like I don't care. Like, when you walk past my house, you're like, oh, they must have a really nice inside. Yeah, that's right. So I'm fixing it, but one step at a time. I don't like moving the sprinkler.
I can't tell if it's just me, but do your hand thing to the camera to get it to refocus, because it looks to me like you're not focused. Yeah, beautiful hand. God. Well, that's good.
It's been good. Kids are on spring break. We've been having a fantastic time. Dragon's Dogma came out last night, number 2. Kids are just as excited as I was. I let them sleep in the living room so they could watch
did
the
you play
introduction.
It?
Yeah, I did. And I was so focused on making sure I was on time for the podcast that I forgot it was garbage and compost day today. So I put the stuff out late, like an hour late. I see the truck going by right now. Hang on. I gotta know which one it is.
This is what you get. See, this is why we normally edit our episodes.
So, anyway, I hope... we have a huge yard. I can't miss compost.
It's true.
No way, my bin's full. My garbage is full. Heck no, I'm not paying for that. We're like... Nope, no bin's allowed throwing anything in the garbage for 2 weeks if I miss that. So, anyway, great week. Great week. Cool. And you're off vacationing again. Vacation, yeah. Business.
This one's vacation. Okay. We're in Victoria for a week, and we love Victoria. It's like the harbor is right outside that window, and we're going to be going to do the Malahat Skywalk today, and they're at the BC Museum right now. That was my way to get them out of the room for me to record. And then we're doing some more stuff. Oh, there's some castle. There's a castle, Hatley or something castle. It's my kids like the Descendants Disney movies, and I guess they film them at this castle.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, they're like the kids of
The kids Disney. Of the stars.
Yeah, like the kids of the princesses and princesses and whatever.
All right.
Man, I feel like I need to cough, but now I gotta like actually mute.
Yeah, I know, right? You haven't coughed for 232 episodes, and now all of a sudden,
I need to. So it's fun. We love Victoria, so it's good. We got to see Josh, which is cool. We're gonna see Ethan today.
Right. Nice.
They're coming, actually, all coming with us to this Skywalk, so it should be fun.
That's really cool. Good for you. That's exciting. Yeah.
We had our gutters done too while we're gone, so.
Oh, like not cleaned, but replaced.
Yeah.
Very nice. You're going to get back home and you're not even going to notice. And then you're going to have to go make a separate attempt to go back outside. And then
they were doing it
while we got my gutters done. You're like, oh, those are some nice gutters. And then you're going to go back inside and never think of them again.
When we were leaving the house, they were doing it. And I said to Christine, I'm like, I love how they're so straight. They're like right up at the top. Like those gutters have been there since we bought the house. Well, since the house was built. So we just inherited those gutters. And, you know, they're, like, hanging and busted up in some spots. And my dad drove into them with the moving truck when we bought it. Like, so they've been needing to go, so.
Right.
Plus, you could pick colors for gutters. I didn't even know that was a thing. But you
can. That's right. And new sunroofs.
Yeah, skylights are all replaced, which is great. So, it's good. All right, so we've got stuff to talk about. We had the announcement yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit happening here. And I messaged you, like, it was funny because I was broadcasting the reveal, and
a few
of us were watching together, and I always enjoy that. It's a lot of fun to hang out with the people, and most of us are kind of the same opinion, like, I really hope they do Path of Exile 1 first. You know what I mean? Like, you and I were kind of hoping that there would be... We know that this would never happen, just because it's just how GGG seems to work, probably saves them a ton of time, but... PoE 1 and PoE 2 are separate announcements. Mm-hmm. Some people care, some people don't. I'm sure everybody cares about both. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not like you're wrangling a lot of new people to Path of Exile 1.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I would guess that 90% of their numbers are all returning players every league. And, well, I guess 10% would be a really high new person number. But anyway, but we were just kind of secretly hoping, like, Path of Exile 1 first, Path of Exile 1 first. And it was PoE 2, but do you care to...
Always.
Do you care about anything PoE 2 that was revealed? I mean, I know we care about PoE 2, but do you care about anything that was revealed?
Revealed-wise, no. I mean, my PoE 2 feeling has not changed. I'm so pumped to play it when it comes out, but I also am tired of hearing about it. And I know people have gotten on me about that, like... You know, people have a difference of opinion on that. My feeling is just, tell me when we're like 2 weeks away. Surprise me. Make me, that to me is the hype. Like,
yep.
And it's even crazier now. Like, it's no surprise that the beta has been pushed back. I would have loved it to have been 7, but as soon as I heard that, I was like, shocker, right? And that's not
anything. It's like Rockstar, right? They set a release date. And you know that's just not the release date. But I was hoping. Like, I was talking with people, Luan on his Twitch. I'm like, hey, man, you know, the beta's coming up. Dragon's Dogma 2 just before that. And he's like, yeah, I got a countdown. A lot of people had countdowns. So there are a lot of people that were hoping because the beta was pushed. You know, what was it? Like, in our opinion, it was a year because ExileCon was last year. And we were all hoping PoE 2 was going to be released that year.
I thought I heard rain, but it's the fan on the computer.
And I can hear it too. Oh, that's nice. And so it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, like they're taking a year to start the beta. Like maybe that's legit. And so we laugh at them because, you know, release dates. And in the past, they've actually had really poor quality. It hasn't been like that for years. Like, GGG's released content for their leagues has been so good for so long now. But older players still have that memory in their heart, an unintentional memory of a long history of releases that were mediocre quality, and then they were fixed up a week later. So I thought it was funny. So many people in our community thought of you when it got pushed back. But I think that's fantastic news.
I got a message from a special friend of ours, curious to see what my opinions were going to be on the beta beam pushback. But my feeling is like, push it to whenever you want, like make it come out good. But that also, there's two things that come with that. One is the saying, perfect is the enemy of good. Like if you're going to be constantly pushing till you have this like pristine release version, like I don't know what state they're at with being able to actually release it, but I would hope that it's not like it has to be perfect before we release it. Like that is kind of the part of the beta to test that. But then also stop talking about it. Like you're building up hype for something that has no end or beginning date yet. Like there's, and you're, what's the hype supposed to be for? Like if you keep building up all this hype and you do it every single release, it reminds me of, I was actually talking with Josh about it last night, not in specific to PoE2, but it's what it sort of made me think about, which was, I think it's called Star Citizen or whatever. It's a game that has been forever been in development, and you eventually run that course for so long that now you have to start over because everything's like, I just don't want that. I would love for them to just go, okay, first off, they fixed Path of Exile 2, the website looks way better.
I didn't realize that I was messaging them the day before they were gonna. It was so funny. I sent a tweet. That doesn't matter. Go ahead. You do your thing.
Well, the camera's just like doing its thing. If I move too much, it's like, hey, where is he? So they fixed up the website. I feel like let's just leave it at that now, and don't keep doing teasers. Don't keep doing. I just don't want to see it as part of a launch announcement for the next league. We clearly are going to have quite a few more leagues now, right? We're not just like, oh, this is the last PoE1 league, and then we're hitting it. That's not going to be the case. So stop talking about it. And then
remember Starfield when it was originally announced? Bethesda, maybe that's Fallout only. Starfield, that's
it. Yeah.
Fallout only announces they're going to space. They're making a space game. Like, how cool is that? They started touching on that with every one of their big summer stage events that they did every year. Just once a year, they touched on Starfield. And it, even once a year, it was annoying because it wasn't coming out for forever and ever and ever. I think the only thing that GGG has going for them in this regard is they are so into community feedback regarding everything. And they discuss it. One of my favorite things about this, we'll get into it in a sec, is how many times Mark told the community to just suck it up and deal with it. You didn't see the Q&A after, did you?
No.
Oh, it was, you would have loved it. Mark was just like, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. And it was awesome. But we've noticed with PoE2 how much GGG has bent on things that normally they were quite sticky about because of how much their game has changed. So they do have that benefit going for them, but I'm with you. Like,
get that feedback during the beta. Like right now, we watch the PoE2 thing and it shows the archer or the ranger, whatever they're calling it, and it looks cool. First off, my feeling was like, oh my god, there's way too many buttons. Like it looked like they were playing a 7-button build with that, you know, like, oh, you just throw this down, then you blow this up, then you put these pustules down. I know that they were showing different types of builds in that process, but my feeling was like, oh my god, my poor fingers are going to die. But I'm
automating it, man. Spirit, zombies, that's it. That's my theory crafting. Throw 700 skills at me, I'm one-buttoning zombies in PoE2.
Yeah, right. So, I'm excited for them with PoE2. I do like that they've updated the website. I am very excited for PoE2, but I don't want to hear about it anymore until I really want them to be like, I want them to, next time we hear about PoE2, to be like, hey, beta's in 2 weeks, like really close. Then there's hype. Then there's excitement. Like you can't drag hype out forever. It will fade, and to the point where it could become negative against you because you're just constantly building this up, but then there's no end.
Right. People in our community have been giving you a hard time for not being excited about the hype because the reality of it is so far away in the future. And I totally, I totally get where you're coming from. But now there's a lot of people, just even within our small community on its own, that are like, oh man, no, I'm in Tags' camp now. No, man, I'm in Tags' camp now. Like, I'm seeing a lot of these posts about, like, you know what, I'm in Tags' camp now. I just don't care anymore. Like, just tell me when it's coming out and I'll see you there. Like, yeah. There's like, and I guess we had kind of some foreshadowing with it, because around Christmas time in November, Jonathan was excited and kept pumping out a couple times in a few interviews, because he did quite a few interviews in a short amount of time, talked about how The Witch was coming out. They were, or not necessarily The Witch per se, but Minion stuff was coming out. They were excited to show us how Spirit worked and a few other things. And then that never happened. And then March started hitting. It's like, okay, like, I know March is technically winter where we live, but this isn't what they were thinking. They were saying, like, shortly after New Year's type of thing. And then the next clip we see is Ranger, and we're like, okay. Now, not as a criticism, you, like, get Minions right. Like, do what you need to do. Just like, you know, with the beta. Like, postpone it as much as you need to. Quality over quantity. The fact that they have that attitude is perfect. That's exactly what you want as a fan. Of course, it's disappointing when things get pushed back. But the second that you realize they don't have Minions figured out to the point where they can't even show it, it's not like they couldn't get it glitch-free. It's like, to me, it's like the core decisions... That's my guess. That was my assumption. When you can't show something that you're that excited for, they changed a very core element to how Minions function, and it just wasn't ready at all. So when you get that getting pushed back in March, you know, like, it, no way beta is going to be in 4 months, in 3 months.
In well, June, he, right? There was in the like, in the PoE2 announcement, he made a comment about you know, how it was like 3 months ago that we showed off the, was it the mercenary or whatever?
Yeah.
But a line he said right after that was my first, like, uh-oh, where he said, so much has changed since then. And I was like, no. So much has been added, but don't tell me so much has changed, because, like, right, that makes me nervous. And I know that they're taking feedback into account, and I do appreciate that, but I also think feedback from a player base who has not played the game should be, take it with a grain of salt. Like, you take the feedback when we're playing it, when we're playing in the beta, then take the feedback back, like, hey, this part's not working, or this would work better. But it is what it is. In the end, I'm pumped for when we get to play PoE2. I would just love to not talk about it again until we're weeks away from
it's,
it.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
But yeah, anyway, Necropolis.
The only time that works is if it's like March and you're showing me what you're going to wear for Valentine's Day. I'm fine with that kind of hype. 11 months away, that's fine. You know what? Give me little teases. That's fine. That's fine. That's the only time.
I still think that's too long.
It is, but it's the, like, who's actually going to complain about that?
Yeah, I we've talked about it before when they did the, was it Fallout or whatever, where they're like, you can play it right now or you can play it tomorrow or something?
It was, well, was it the, for Fallout the Shelter. Maybe? It was their mobile game.
Yeah.
On the announcement, he was like, and you can play it, like, right now. And they dropped it right then on the Play Store. And
it was so exciting. It was Fallout. You've never seen them do it before.
I think it was Fallout 4, where it was that summer. And they said it's coming out this November 11th.
Right. So that's the one I'm referring to. Yeah. Like,
as Pam would say, sploosh.
I like that kind of hype where there it's... And I'm so happy they didn't set a date and say, like... So yes. Now instead we're going to be September 30th or whatever it is. I'm really happy they didn't do that and just said end of 2024. So I would love if this is the last time we talk about PoE2 until we're like a week or two away. I know that's not going to be the case, but...
No, they still have every other class, like, extremely generic. They're going to.
Yeah, but don't.
They have... Like,
I don't want them to.
I don't know, whatever the Marauder... is it Marauder? I forget where the Mercenary lands. They've done a tiny bit of the Templar. Now they've done a tiny bit of the Ranger.
Do those, I guess, as, like, one-off clips then, maybe here and there, but don't make it part of your announcement anymore. I just... It's just a personal just thought.
Tweets,
and personal
YouTube
feeling.
Videos.
Yeah, the odd thing here and there is fine, but I don't want to do another, you know, 20-minute session of watching something I can't play that has no current timeline to when I can play it. And
or possible relevance. I mean, if the Marauder or the Mercenaries already changed, how much has the Druid changed since we saw that half a year ago, right? Like, so, I mean, still, though, I love the quality over quantity attitude. I just... Perfect. That's exactly... Yeah. I'm so happy that that's how they have it, and you guys just keep it up. You guys are doing great.
Yeah. All right, let's get into Necropolis. 324 Necropolis.
Ooh,
we weren't right.
You're going to make me cough.
Well, Can he mute himself? He did it. See, people ask, why don't you guys do video? Why don't you do live? It's this. And also, half the time we're walking away, I got to take a phone call, something. Oh, you got to get that.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, so apparently I can't laugh for this episode. You make me laugh and I lose half my lung. But, man, listeners, you're going to love all the sloshing business, yeah. Hey? Like,
yeah, normally that would come right out. No mouth clicking noise. It. That's the worst for me.
You're going to be driving. You're going to have a colleague with you on your work thing. You're like, no, these guys are good. They're good. They're professional. They're fine. I know it's about a video game, but it's fine. And then all of a sudden they're making like sounds and... Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so Necropolis.
Do you want to do, like, I guess sometimes you have, it's very entertaining for me as a standard player. I can very clearly define the difference between what's core and what's league. Do you want to talk about league first?
Yeah, let's do
league. All right.
So Necropolis.
The league itself, Necropolis. Oh, one thing that Mark said in the Q&A that you missed, the two bad guys that we saw you and I based all of our guesses around. Yeah. Nothing to do with the league. Katarina and Sanctum
really?
Lady? Nothing to do with the league. They just thought it looked cool and they were both like graveyardy. So they did it.
What?
They just did it to be
Are
cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he laughed about it. He's like, okay, we funny. Enjoyed seeing all the...
Like biggest bait ever.
Well, it's not like you can't even fault anybody for guessing way off when it comes to that. Like, you tease what's going to be in it. It's not, you know, it's like
we based our decisions entirely off that still image towards the end of it one, and now it has nothing to do with it at all. That's too funny.
Yeah, so they have nothing to do with it, but you saw the video. Tell me what you think. You're the league guru.
Well, I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be fun. I did have, when they first walked into the Necropolis, I actually had like Harvest flashbacks to this idea of like micromanaging a secondary area. Like, it'll be interesting to see how it looked. Really cool. I love the idea that like things you've killed are on benches and they're like waiting to be buried. Like, it looked really cool. But I am curious how much micromanagement that's going to take to like, it just gave me Harvest vibes of like this, you got to come to this area and plan things out and whatever. I think the crafting side of it's very cool. Like, I think it's going to be pretty fun. I think the league in general looks really cool. Like, the ability to affect your areas, like we've talked about this before, the ability to have an effect on the map that you're doing is a really cool idea. I didn't see all the modifiers.
And it's a forced league this time. You can't skip it. Every instance you go to is going to have that. You don't have to click on that mirror thingy, whatever it is, crystal.
Clicking is just what lets you change it around, I guess.
Right. You go into that instance, that's what you get. So you may as well click just to see what you're getting. And if you don't care to change anything, fine. But it is one of those, and I have no problem with that. You're playing League. You choose when you create a character. You're like, do you want to play Standard or do you want to play League? And then if you want to play League and then you want to skip the content, I'm like, okay, I don't really feel bad for you. You're just basically playing Standard with a fresh start. So create a new character in Standard if that's the experience you want. So I have no problem with forced content. But I don't remember the last time there was unskippable League content.
I mean, every league, I guess, is technically unskippable, but you then determine if you're going to interact with it, whereas in this case, you have no choice but to interact with it.
Huh. Like, this is basically, like, the last league with all wisps, but the wisps just automatically show up and you never go underground.
Which, in that regard, is nice, that it just will happen. Like, you didn't have to do anything to still be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, man.
The idea of it looked really cool. The idea of like having some control over what the types of mobs will do and swapping things in and out. I'm curious how much time that will add to trying to run a map where you're trying to like rearrange and plan things out based on it. But the idea behind it looks cool. And if it's simple enough to just like go into the crypt or whatever and just quickly throw your things in there, like the crafting side of it looked cool. I almost wondered a little bit just for myself how, from a trade perspective, I may just start to not really focus so much on that. Where
if items are going to be easy to make, getting like selling items is going to be garbage and getting good items is going to be easy.
Yeah, because you can sell the bodies, right? Like, because you can put a coffin or whatever. So I'm curious to see, like, is it beneficial? It also, like, we've talked sometimes about like the simplicity or the difficulty of PoE. This seem to amplify the difficulty side of it, where you need to have some knowledge or understanding of what you're doing if you wanted to actually min-max it or take the biggest advantage from it. So it looks fun. No, I don't either. And it looks fun. It's different. It's not something they've done before. And it feels like a fun idea. I have to say, the league itself, though, looks great, but I really, really love all the new QOL stuff that's coming out.
Oh, so, can't wait to get into that.
Yeah, whatever the thing is looks cool, though.
When the NPC coming out of his gate with his death body bucket, girl. Which is, bring out your dad! Yeah, so good, so good. But when you have him come out, is that automatic, like Einhar currently is? So you have to be paying attention to all of that, choose which one goes back, and then you have to go back. See,
it only seems like it's sometimes, though, and hopefully it shows in the minimap, so that if you are moving a little bit faster through it, something's on the minimap that says, hey, this body needs to be collected, because it's not every body, it's just certain ones.
It just seems like, and Harvest was the first league that I thought of as well, when you mentioned it. Obviously, it's nowhere near the complexity of Harvest, but it's still taking that time to build something up and then hopefully get an item. I'm curious why there's the micromanagement aspect of it. Like, they went from the micromanagement of Harvest, but what's Harvest now? Zero. You click on the thing, you go into Harvest, you run around, you find enemies, and then, like, that's it. There's like, zero micromanagement. Then everything you get is automatic. It goes into your crafting table. I'm curious, like, you have Harvest, and then the way that you want it or the way you make it for your community is no micromanagement, because that's the fun way. And then they make a league that's half of the micromanagement of Harvest, but still micromanagement. I wonder why they just don't go straight to what they think it would be great if it was core. Maybe they don't give themselves the time for it. Maybe they always want leagues to be more interactable. But to me, tedious is tedious no matter what. And I think at some point, the planning aspect is what our people are going to be skipping.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I would rather them not build around the idea of what could go core.
That's a good point, too. That's a good point.
But also, you still got a 4-month league. I mean, realistically, we're not in a 3-month league cycle anymore. So,
do you think they'll start trying to go back to 3-month leagues before Path? I think they're sticking to 4-month leagues.
No, there's no way. Maybe like, after Path of Exile 2 comes out.
Less leagues and all that kind of stuff. I think they're sticking to 4 months until PoE 2.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think
heard it here first. Too.
Yeah, and a long time ago, like we've been trying to figure out what they were doing. But I like the idea of them not planning around what would go core, but also maybe this is their middle ground to like, okay, Harvest was way too much micromanagement.
Yeah,
maybe
to play
this will be feasible. Yeah, it's hard to say without playing it, but I am curious. I'm going to dip out of camera here for a second to pick something up I dropped. It is.
You have a sexy armpit.
Check that shoulder out. It will be curious to see how long you maintain the idea of going to do this crafting type stuff. So, yeah, I guess we'll see. The area looked cool, but so did the menagerie when it first came out. So, you know.
I kind of laughed at GGG, not in a bad way, but PoE 1, the biggest problem, in my opinion, is loot, right? And how much garbage drops, how many base types there are that can drop. We've talked about it 100 times. I won't get into it here, but I loved that after all the effort they so-called went through in the demo for showing us what a mediocre pair of boots looked like and then a good pair of boots looked like that's a lot of extra work for a pair of boots that people are only going to use as a filler.
Well, that's why I see, from a trade perspective, I was like, yeah.
Right, but it just seems like, I don't know, for someone that's already totally fine skipping league content and just playing for the refresh and being able to play with you, it was just an interesting example.
I think, though, if you cut out the whole crafting side of it, you still get the benefit of the map being affected. You get mobs that are giving more XP, more types of splinters, all these different, like, I like that. That's kind of cool, right? So even if you choose to skip the crafting side of it, you are still getting the benefit of the Necropolis League in your gameplay. So that's at least good that you're not going to be forced to do it. But
and for people that are nervous about crafting in the current vanilla version of the game, because there's so many different ways to apply your quote-unquote guaranteed mods that you're looking for, but it's quite overwhelming, and you do need to have, like, once you have the knowledge, it all makes sense, but if you don't have the knowledge, you feel like you have to learn so many different mechanics and possibilities, not just about affixes, but where those affixes can come from and how to block them and what kind of affixes are available depending on what you already have and which ones rule out the others. It's a lot, and a lot of people just dismiss it, but this seems like a nice middle ground for encouraging people to go back. Like, sure, when you're crafting in the graveyard, you only have the one source, but it allows people to start thinking about, okay, this increases my chance of having a movement speed. This increases my chance of life. Oh, shoot, like this, this was, you know, life regen's considered a life mod, not just maximum life. Oh, okay, cool. All of a sudden you have this knowledge that goes through that will carry into the vanilla version of the game. And I think it'll be very beneficial for people that are, I mean, obviously I haven't played, but just from what they displayed, I think it'll be very beneficial for people that are kind of nervous and rely on other people to help them, give them step-by-steps on how to make epic gear. This would be a nice stepping stone into getting that. Sure, it doesn't teach you harvest. Sure, it doesn't teach you fossils, but you start understanding the words. You start getting familiar with mods that show up if you block this or don't block that, and if you give yourself a higher percentage. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be really cool post 324.
I think, too, with Necropolis, it's the first time ever where in-game you will find out information about mobs.
Isn't that the best?
Having to leave. Like, I think that's a great change.
Oh, my goodness, it is. And both Jonathan and Mark, they were the two in the Q&A with Ziggy.
Okay.
They both referenced that.
Hmm.
And, but Mark, or sorry, Jonathan, even in his kind of nonchalant way, he brought up, he's like, yeah, and this is the first time we're doing this, and you know, it's cool to see what people learn. And Mark was kind of feeding into that, and then it's like, you know, maybe it gives us some ideas on what to do in the future. And right away I'm thinking, man, if you did all this big league for Necropolis just for this like little bit of testing to see, you know, how this based enemy base type information helps users, like, that's my dream. I wish, like, if they had something like this that was just in the game 6 years ago, people would be enemy base type pros. I would, oh, it's so cool.
Well, you know what's funny, though, thinking about the fact that they did this for it, is that that means there's a database somewhere in the game.
Right. As people like to say, the tech my is F1. There!
Yeah, they have the technology.
Right, so, I'm playing through Dragon's Dogma 2, and I have to say, the information that I can get when I pause the game and look at the different menus they have, everything from tutorials with tutorial videos, like just like showing basics, and then like even just enemies and ailments, and it's...
Okay, stop talking about it.
It's nice. Oh, man, and the game itself.
Shut up. Had enough. We're done.
Yep, that's right. So, okay, I think Necropolis is going to be cool. Well, they kind of added the prospect of those two people. I'm the same as you. I don't care about League at all. I never do. I'm a core player. I like Standard. I just love the core aspect. So this, to me, was the most mind-boggling League announcement that's ever existed, but it wasn't because of Necropolis. I'm excited for Necropolis. We'll give it a shot, see what happens, but I'm still going to play my vanilla build and go for it. But the changes that came to the core game... Mm-hmm. So, here...
There's no pause. There's no taking this.
No, I know there's no pause, but I like, see, I loaded the wrong app because Trello and Tasks and my Microsoft To Do are all, they look
okay. So let me throw out some of them because I didn't write notes or look at anything or pay attention to much. I just watched the announcement. My favorite thing ever was the multiple Atlas passives. I think that is one of the coolest moves that they've ever added because ability to have multiple Atlas passives. The Atlas passive is my favorite part of the game. I find it the most freeing part of a build because I don't have to be super concerned. I don't know why. It just seems such an easy thing to understand when you're putting it together. So now the ability to have two, which is great because it can be quite difficult when you're coming in on a new character towards end game and now you've got a super amped up Atlas, but also just different ideas. If you're like, man, it would be really cool to try that, but I mean, we've talked about this before. I've never had an issue with getting, so I'm in vacation mode, so I can't think of the item, but Orb of Unmaking, I've never had a problem getting those, so I But that's a lot of work to like re-unspec, to then respec, and then you're like, oh shit, that didn't work. I didn't like that or whatever. So the ability to have now three different things, and you can swap all, like as you're loading the map, that's amazing. That's so good.
It is absolutely crazy. It's so cool.
And my understanding is you unlock those as you... Oh, hello. Computer making noise. You unlock those as you're going through maps.
They didn't say what it is. They didn't say it in the patch. That's cool, though. But yeah, whatever. It's great. Mm-hmm. I love that they still have that idea of, and you got to discover. Like, they've changed so much about the campaign process. Not the core elements of where to go. Like, you could still speed through it, but they've changed tons about the campaign. And sure, it seemed like they showed a lot, but... It's like a 10-act campaign. They just shrug their shoulders, be like, good luck. Oh, and we changed this to a different vendor recipe. Good luck finding it out. I love that they do that and keep it up. I really hope they keep that up into POE2. Like, yes, make it new player friendly, but just the basics. Just help them understand the game. Still make it a game of discovery. So I'm really excited about that. I wanted to shout out GGG and Mark.
All right.
No,
this is your moment.
No, that wasn't it. I brought up the wrong note. Hey, guys. So, this is, to me, it's just interesting timing, right? Like, we know POE2 is in process and they're making big decisions. Like, you can't keep changing things with Path of Exile 2. At some point, you have to make a firm decision because you have to plan around it, you have to build around it, you have to design around it and code around it. You can't just keep changing your mind on stuff, right? So, and as we've mentioned, good for them taking their time, making sure they're getting it right. That's awesome. But they're obviously, with all the changes that we've seen and the things that they've changed that normally they were not willing to change for Path of Exile 1 and now they are for POE 2, there's lots of discussion that they're having. Well, actually, why can't we have this and why can't we have that? And I love that they're willing to visit those kind of conversations and have that attitude. So I'm wondering how much of these quality of life things that we see, which is a ton in this league, I wonder how much of that is influenced by Path of Exile 2 talk. I was discussing with you earlier, and this might have actually been an After Dark, but like Path of Exile 1's not getting a skeleton crew and probably getting some more employees now that Path of Exile 2's been delayed indefinitely, but like there's still... They've referenced many times that Path of Exile 1 doesn't have the same amount of people working on it. Sure, you might have some people when it comes to crunch time from the POE2 team getting thrown over. Like, apparently, especially when we were talking to Octavian, things are fluid. You jump from POE1 to POE2 and you go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's POE2. Let's get this done. Let's do it right. So POE1's not on a skeleton crew per se, but it does have a lot less. And for them to go through and actually just like really crush so many quality of life improvements, not just one or two to appease, like they could have released two of these all centered around trade and the community's like, whoa, it's the best, right? Like great things, but they just more and then more and then more and then more, and it was just nonstop. Especially once you have the reveal and you see the patch, it's like, man, there's so many and long lasting. Like, we're talking core stuff, not necessarily experimental things. So I was thinking about how many people they actually have on the team versus how many people they have on POE2. But I was also thinking about the fact, like, Mark_GG has been, you know, a massive part of decision making with the company for a long time, which I think is fantastic considering he started in QA. And maybe he's always had the role of game director, but without the official title. Maybe he's always been game director, but they just always had Chris and Jonathan on. Maybe this is a new promotion and he's been given lots of power, but it's kind of like Mark's always had a slightly different verbal take on the things that aren't good in POE1 than the others. You know what I mean? Like, when Mark has been interviewed in the past, from how I remember it, if he doesn't like something in Path of Exile 1, it wasn't like... Sure, there might be an explanation as to why it's like that, but at the end of the day, he would always emphasize, but I agree, it's not right, but I agree, it's not like that. And we've heard Jonathan and Chris say things like that too, but with Mark, it's always been like, I'm a gamer, I play this lots, I hate it when this happens too, I totally hear you, it's not being ignored, we're just trying to come up with a good fix for it. And so now, let's say, in my mind, without knowing what happens behind scenes, Mark's made game director. He's allowed to make his own choices, right? Like, we heard in the Q&A a funny conversation between Jonathan referencing Chris and Jonathan, where Mark was like, I don't think Chris approved that. And Mark's like, I don't think you approved it either, but he put it in anyway. And at the end of the, and Jonathan had a comment a little bit later in that conversation saying, it's your game. You do what you want, right? So he has his bosses, but now it's his game. And so maybe this is like, this is my first official league as game director, completely on the back end from 323 to 324. We are throwing these things in, fix these. You know what I mean? So maybe he was able to pull some assets from Path of Exile 2. To be like, this needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now, especially because we're pushing the beta. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that, but I want to congratulate Mark. If it is a new title, new promotion, I want to congratulate Mark, and I think you're doing a fantastic job on the front lines as well. Scary public front lines in front of the camera answering questions, and congratulations on telling us to stick it and suck it up, because I think
was
we
this,
need to.
Like, I didn't see it, but was when he was saying stuff like that, was it regarding... like mechanics or things that people didn't like?
One of the things was Ziggy bringing up all the great QOL changes, but then one of them, of course, that didn't get positive verbal reception that people could see, public reception, was the skills with instant skills getting changed to, unless you're going to hold down the button, which can no longer be on left click, your movement skill, requiring a support if you wanted it to be hands-free. And they came up with some really good reasons as to why it was the case. They said they're willing to change it, but they're not going to change it now. They're definitely going to see what things are like.
Try it.
And all the things, like, for example, I was nervous about the bone armor skill. Those have all been touched on and referenced. They specifically referenced something like General's Cry. And so those are things that they're willing to look at. But at the end of the day, he's like, this is how it's going to be for now. So you're just going to have to deal with it and try it. And I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. No knee-jerk reaction. We've been spending a lot of time on this, and the only reason left click existed in the first place was kind of not a glitch in the system, but just it wasn't supposed to work that way, but we let it work that way.
Hmm.
Cool. But I like it. Like, that would be one thing where the community has been verbal about, this is stupid. Why don't you let us have both the support and or left click? And he's like, no.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I like them sticking to their guns and at least letting it play out, see how it works. I mean, you can have a knee-jerk reaction as the community right now, but you haven't touched it yet. So let's touch it and then see
how we feel about it. There's been so many changes. Like, there's going to be so many subjects and conversations that people will want us to touch on. We're not going to remember half of it. And it was one of those things where it was so exciting to watch, but there was so much content that if you start taking notes, you're not going to stop. Like, you're going to have pages and pages of notes. There's no way to take only a tiny bit of notes for something like this. The content is insane. GGG, this is crazy what you've given us. So thank you very, very much. What, Justin, I mean, obviously you're probably going to forget all your favorite stuff, but what kind of stuff can you remember that blows your mind?
The Atlas passives, I actually think it's really cool, too, that they're testing out the idea of the league mechanic being in the Atlas this time.
Really cool.
So I think that's a really fun idea to see how that plays out. I didn't look because I haven't seen, I know apparently the Atlas passive's already out. You can see it on whatever that POE planner. I think has. So that's really cool that I haven't looked into any of it, though, so I don't know what those actual nodes are.
Some of them seem quite high on the Atlas passive tree, too, which I think is smart. Like,
high
near
in the sense,
north,
like, farther
end.
Away to get.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually looked at the Atlas passive tree. I was in bed when it came out, and we were recording this morning. But it makes sense. If they are high, you know, north, east,
just further west, away, do you mean?
Yeah, like, actually deal with the content before you start changing it. I like that idea. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
Look at this guy. He's muting like a pro. I'm trying to think, though.
Hit it. Nice.
Nice job. The quality of life stuff. I honestly can't remember a lot of it because I was watching it yesterday.
Okay. T-17s are a permanent thing now. They're not just Valdo maps.
Yeah, there's five of them. I remember them saying that. And they drop something specific, right? That's where the shards drop to do the, like,
Uber bosses.
Uber bosses, right.
Yep. And the T-17s can only drop in T-16s, which is nice. You're not going to get them.
And new modifiers now for them? right? There's new modifiers.
Yes, there's
for
new
the
T17 modifier specific. Ziggy did bring up the prospect of, because you can't reroll them either.
Oh.
And Ziggy brought up, he's like, well, what about mods that break builds? Deal with it. Like, I hate mods that break builds.
I disagree with him on that one.
Yes, yeah. I love the attitude, but mods that break builds just shouldn't exist, especially in a non-modifiable situation. And
well, they got rid of like Wandering Path and stuff too. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, but T17s cannot drop in T17s. They are not self-sustaining. The idea is that T16s are where you're at, and then you sometimes jump back into T17s.
And you're doing them for the purpose of trying to do the Uber content.
Yeah, but it's also a stepping stone to the Uber content. Like they were talking about there being a pretty big discrepancy, a big gap between the difficulty of the T16s and then your Uber content, or just your pinnacle bosses and then the Uber content. But then they came out with a funny comment a little bit later. It's like, some of these are going to be more difficult than the Uber content. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
I think the idea of the T17s
with that, is fun.
Yeah.
I like that they're purple.
Right? And they're bringing back cool cool bosses. Right? Like, it's changed so much because, like, now they've changed how the unique synthesis maps drop, where they can drop. And some of these bosses are people's favorite bosses, like, whether it's from... Oh, I forget which league mechanics.
Right. I remember seeing that.
But it's really cool to incorporate... Boss. Right. Make some of these bosses from... league mechanics, bring them to more of a core mechanic and keep going. And it kind of centralizes everything too. You're not going from one direction to another, but that also brings up now the new map device. There's no sextants.
I love that. I absolutely
right?
love no
Isn't that insane? And then there's just, the more void stones you have, they've changed the passive basically that you get that increases value. And then there's no more master missions. So the only thing you do when you put your... Let's say you craft your map ahead of time. You put your map in. Then you have your scarabs, which is like the only thing you can do. Scarabs and fragments now. And then you pick which boss you're going after. Maven or the other two. And that's unbelievable. That's so nice.
And the change they made to scarabs, actually, I really love. So I was watching them as they were doing them, and I was trying to, like, see when they would mouse over top of them. But I love the fact that they aren't tiered scarabs anymore. So it's not like the lowest tier does this, and then the second tier does that, but a little bit better. Like, they're actually entirely different, which means you can actually start putting the same types of scarabs in together. Right. I think that's such a fun move.
What was the one that they used? Ultimatum could have a few different types of scarabs, but they just do different things.
They do different things, which is
right.
Awesome.
So it's not like that lack of tiered system. And it's so cool because when you go to the Atlas tree, when you go to POE Planner, let me read. It's here. So let's say you don't want Delirium. Your maps have no chance to contain Delirium mirrors. Scarabs found in your maps cannot be Delirium scarabs.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And then, of course, they changed the wording for the 2% chance to contain stuff, which is the same thing. They just had to change the wording because of how the game
These are the little blocking ones that are in the middle?
Yeah. So you're actually controlling the fact that if there's content you don't want, the game's so heavily dependent on scarabs, you're not even getting those anymore.
That's cool.
And how perfect is it that they got rid of those keystones that you were talking about, like Wandering Path, Grand Design... What was it, Helping Hand or whatever, the pack size one with the scarabs? Got rid of it all.
Growing Hordes, yeah.
Yeah, Growing Hordes, right. And this is hilarious because people think that I have endless amounts of currency in Standard. I play very little, so I have less currency than I would have in a league that I would play because I play the league, and then I stop playing the league whenever that is, and then I go to Standard, but I only play like 3 or 6 hours a week. Like, I'm a slow player. Like, I got the timer, all right? I'm, like, 15 minutes a map, right? So it's one of those things where I don't have a lot of currency, and I finally found an Atlas passive that I love. I spent all my Orbs of Unmaking, and then I used maybe, like, 60 regrets to get more just to make. I'm like, yes, this is the Atlas passive tree I'm getting. This is the one I'm going to stick to. I'm sure things are going to change slightly, but this is what I'm sticking with. This is the theme. And it completely revolved around Grand Design, Growing Hordes, and all like the map and boss completion stuff. And had I waited, I would have three maps to play with and test, like three Atlas passive trees to play with and test with. It was so funny that I completely blew my load. This league and this coming league is the one where it gives me the perfect opportunity to test things.
When they showed on the thing, the new Scarab stash tab thing, it was so big. I was like, oh my God, how are you going to know where things are? Like it, right. It would, I've never seen a stash tab with that much shit in a single one. Like it was crazy. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. Cause I still think that that's one of the struggles when it comes to rolling maps is that you've got to, sorry, these ear things. I'm borrowing my kids' earbuds cause I forgot to bring headphones. You're still having that micromanagement of like, I got to pull out the scarabs, then I got to put them into the thing. I like that you can stack them, right? So you can have a full stack of 10. It'd be nice if that was bigger. And they'll just stay in there for each one that you roll. Is it 20? Okay. So whatever it is, I like that you can put them in there and just leave them in there. It would be fun if there was some way, I don't think it would work, but where you could actually like click on the empty box and it would show you your
oh, that'd be interesting.
So you could just pull it into it. But
They also changed how you get the 5-socket map device.
Oh, it's not through Legion.
It's not through Legion anymore. It's through something. Dang it.
It actually makes sense to take it away from Legion because it was a forced thing that you had to do it, and it didn't really make sense because it was beneficial to everybody.
The 5th slot in the map device is now unlocked upon completing a non-Valdos T17 map. So just a normal T17.
Oh, wow. So it's still going to take you a minute.
But
to get
great.
Up there. But that's,
I mean,
at least it's accessible to everybody.
Right. That's kind of like your min-maxing thing. You know what I mean? Like having three extra slots
difference.
To add content, you're fine. You'll be fine until you get that 5th slot. Like it's just bonus coin. You're not dependent on it at
but
all.
It,
so,
well,
I like
no,
that.
But it is a big deal. So being able to unlock it from just playing the game, I do appreciate that because it was one of the frustrations with when you wanted it. You were just paying somebody to hop into a 4-way or something. So
yeah,
that's cool.
It is. And I'm curious the state of Masters now. Like, are they just considered league content? Extra content? They're still, like, I had maybe 30 seconds before we signed on to go through PoE Planner's Atlas Passive Tree. And they've definitely made it so that you can, at some point, get 100% to guarantee Masters to show up in your content. I haven't looked for others. Maybe it's just that easy for all the other content as well. But I'm curious, like, are they considered extra content now? Because before they were Masters, but now you can't, like, the whole system's different. But they have specific NPCs for it. Like, it's still, I don't know, they're in that in-between zone from what we're familiar with. But it'd be cool if they were considered extra content. But at the same time, that would mean something like when you're blocking nodes, are they using up that percentage chance instead of strong boxes or instead of essences? Are they showing up in lieu of?
I'm curious too, because you were mentioning 100%. Like, I wonder, is the plan with this Atlas passive where you can actually make the league content you want be on every single map? Is that possible throughout the...
I haven't done the math outside of looking for Delve and Nico, but it from the wording that I remember in the release that they had, it was about guaranteeing your content,
but obviously still within the limits of how many points you have, where it's not like you can take 4 different league mechanics and find a way to make them 100%.
Sure. Like, Nico doesn't have a lot of clusters, but his first two clusters, like, we're talking right off the bat, there's the, it's not a cluster per se, it's just a notable along the travel nodes. It was 10%, 20%, and 10%. Like, you're getting 40% right off the bat. Now, I don't know, he's not extra content, right? But
interesting.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to play with, because I love that part of Path of Exile. Like, I love pulling up the Atlas passive, and then, like, when I get to maps, that's when I pull up PoE Planner and start playing around with how do I want to build this.
And think about how much more of the game you're going to be able to experience now, because you are someone who will no problem spend 100 orbs of unmaking throughout a game, throughout a league, maybe do it twice and just change your content. But now you don't even need to spend any of them, because you'll have eventually Swap. You'll unlock 3 atlases, but it'll still allow you the opportunity to, now you'll have 300 orbs of unmaking and you can spend them even more apathetically. Mm-hmm. It to swap between different things. Like, I think you're going to be able to actually play a lot longer in a league because it gives you more freedom to experience everything that
without the struggle of like, oh, I gotta, yeah, right. I think the ability to have three is such a fun idea. So what, any other quality of life things that stood out to you? Cause I can't remember any other ones.
The Maven invitations don't exist anymore.
Yeah. I remember us talking about that. I think that's good.
I do too. It's very streamlined. Get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. Atlas Passive. There were, this, the Kyrick mods, every single league is available this league.
Oh, wow. So you don't have to get whatever that was.
Right. You still have to unlock them or whatever via progress, but yeah.
Sure.
That's right.
Every single one? Wow. Yeah.
Oh, so much has changed, though. Like, bestiaries changed a lot because of the scarabs, and obviously the syndicate has betrayal has changed a ton because of it. It's like every master, it's like the game's like throwing scarabs at you. You're just getting scarabs and scarabs and scarabs. I can't wait for whatever that node is that you just get that random intelligence gathering. Oh man, I'm definitely keeping that one, and I'm gonna have way more scarabs than before. So many things for standard players.
What was that one?
Oh, you just get 10 random intelligence to a random safe house. Gathering intelligence, okay. Right? Like, yeah. That's going to be so great, because even if you're only getting one or two safe houses at the end, there's some scarabs. It's great. But, and I like that, because I don't like the micromanagement of planning that kind of stuff. I'm an Alcan-Go kind of player in all aspects of the game. So just give it to me, and I think it's great. But even things for standard players, like your scouting reports, those turn into scarabs, and I think sextants are turning into scarabs. Like, it's pretty awesome. I think only the Maven invitations are actually getting deleted.
Oh, like as it rolls out or whatever?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, the Atlas is different for standard as well, because it won't have the league mechanics on it. I remember them saying something about that.
So, City Square is being removed. Mesa is being removed. Race Course is being removed. Those are my three guarantees. Those are my three perfect, like, hug the right, do the boss kind of. Oh,
what are we
so
getting
perfect.
In replacement? Any good
that
ones?
I like? Yeah. Belfry, but I don't like the top boss. Of fight.
Yeah.
No, that's I don't mind Phantasmagoria, but it's that's the linear one, I think. Which
it's,
I don't
so
like.
It is linear in the sense, but you kind of have to zigzag if you want to do it all in one run.
Silo to me is the same, and we're getting that back. That's the same as Belfry.
Phased
it's
boss,
good for though, hugging sucks. The right, but crappy boss. Mm-hmm.
The boss isn't terrible. It's just the phase idea of it. You cannot kill him fast enough to not have to go through the extra phases.
Toxic Sewer is back.
I like Toxic Sewer.
It's all right.
Yeah. I don't mind Toxic Sewer. Those are some good ones.
I don't like the boss fight because of the actual location in the area. Visibility is tough. And when you have a minion build and you have the scorpion jumping around back and forth. It is a scorpion, right? It's not Dodri? Yeah, it's a scorpion.
No, in Toxic Sewer, it's the spider.
Yeah, the chaos spider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a scorpion, but whatever. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I don't like the actual, like, the small area to jump around in, because there's a lot of ground dots and it's a very small area, and then there's
poison,
like narrow bridges where you think you're on but you can't see because of visibility. And so
it's a really good map for some builds, but for some builds being in that tight quarters is awful.
Mm-hmm.
So cool though, I do like that one, but man, those are some good ones to lose. Mesa and City Square.
And I think we already talked about this because it was announced ahead of time, but there was certain uniques have been specifically assigned to certain bosses. And now we haven't talked specifically about those uniques, but we knew that was going to happen because they changed how random rewards work, like stack decks. They can't offer div cards that give boss-specific rewards. You can only get rewards that are part of the generic pool. But they did that with not just div cards, but everything else that I can't think of that would also give you a random reward. It's all of that. And so they've changed which unique drops drop for from specific bosses, from the T-17s, from the Ubers, from the standard variants of those Ubers. I forget what you call them.
I guess just pinnacle bosses. So they've changed which uniques, and they've rebalanced those uniques so that
They're better.
Their idea is that it's legit hopeful appropriate sure. chasing. You don't feel like you're wasting your time with any of those fights. So
that's cool. I still hate the Uber bosses, like the Uberist of those. I find them insanely hard. Like I've struggled to make a build that comfortably does them, and I don't want to do one that I don't want to do a 20-minute fight. Like, actually, it's funny saying that. When they showed in the PoE2 announcement, and they're like, now let's see how this all works as they go to fight that one boss, I fast-forwarded. I was like, oh my god, this boss is taking forever to kill. So I mean, I like challenging fights while I'm leveling up. I like the idea of, you know, I'm really excited for the PoE2 bosses to come out, but when you're talking about bosses that can one-shot you every second and you've got to fight them for 20 minutes, no. I don't want to do one thing to screw up and then all of a sudden I'm back to square one.
This cool. next point that I'm trying to bring up, yeah. not trying to bring up, like, our conversation's great.
If man, you would just shut
could
up.
Could you just wrap it up, please, sir? But this next point that I want to bring up, I sent you a picture on it, Discord tagged you on it. I'm sure that if nothing League-related changed and there was no League, this would still be the most exciting change in the world for you, even maybe beyond the Atlas passive changes, because that, even though that's your favorite part of the game. The Soul Eater buff has been reworked.
Yes.
There is now a maximum number, 45 souls, that can be consumed, and each soul provides 5% increased attack and cast speed. Okay, but that's it. It's not like, you know, movement speed or anything like that. But for monsters, this also provides 2% less damage per soul, which of course gets up to 90%. But one soul is lost every half second if you have not gained any souls recently.
Finally.
Right?
Finally.
So even if they're maxed out and buffed.
I changed my mind. I like that one better.
right. Like, everybody likes that prospect. I mean, it might not work for some, like in the one boss fight in the barrows or whatever it is. Stupid cat, or what's her name?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not barrows.
Whatever it is. Anyway, in...
I played it so much last league. She just keeps pulling them
up.
I
hate her. But anyway, she constantly summons zombies, so there's that one's not going to work. She'll always be at 90%. If it's the same technical. If she actually has Soul Eater as opposed to her own unique buff. But finally, hey? Like, in that fight that's actually taking forever, where you would just leave your build, AFK, go upstairs, make a coffee, start a Netflix show,
or just
come back down, see if it's done, right? Now they'll actually be finished. It'll be great.
Yeah, that's such a good change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did forget. I did see I was tagged in that a couple times, but I forgot about that one. I do like that one a lot.
And this, funny enough, is completely and directly tied to left click. But Unholy Might in general, just as a buff in general for the entire game, Unholy Might is no longer 30% of physical damage as extra damage. Or as extra chaos damage, it's now 100% of physical damage converted to chaos damage.
And, wait, converted? It's not extra? Right.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Huh. Right. Yeah. So it's not 30% extra. It's now 100%
conversion.
Conversion to physical. Or sorry.
To
100%
chaos.
Physical converted to chaos. So it's not extra. It's just a complete conversion. But there's also a 25% chance to apply Wither on hit. So instead
that's cool.
So you're getting 100% of the damage, which is nice to be consistent, but instead of the extra damage,
you're getting Wither, which is
you're
big.
Getting Wither, which is much stronger. Much mm-hmm. stronger if it applies. Wither typically only lasts for 2 seconds. Super.
Temporal stacks chains. Up to what though? I can't remember what it stacks to.
15.
Right.
So that ends up being much, much
that's
stronger.
That's a big deal, yeah.
It is, because that now changes the Ascendancy in the Necromancer.
Oh, right, because that is in the...
That's
like one of the final ones in Necro.
Right, so instead of guaranteeing... So everywhere else in the tree, or gems and everything else, for your minions to gain Unholy Might, it's a chance on kill. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a couple items that would give it chance on hit, but it's always a chance. It's a chance. So that was the one place on the tree where you were guaranteeing permanent unholy might for your entire minion army or single minion army.
Because it just says your minions have unholy might, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're guaranteeing no matter who you are, they're 100% chaos. If they're physical damage, right? If they're doing something like if you have pure fire, like it's not going to change it for your golem. Like if you have a flame golem, I think a flame golem is pure fire. I don't think it's physical to fire, but either way, for physical damage, which is the majority of minions, it's getting converted all to that. And then for wither, to not need to really invest in dex to get that wither chance, so nice. So nice. It's really, really strong.
I would imagine that's a big deal for you, even with the zombies, because if you have multiple zombies hitting an enemy, you're going to stack that wither up pretty quick.
Right, and you throw on summon phantasms, and all of a sudden, I have 20 items. I heard it.
The ferry. A boat or something.
Whatever it is, yeah. But now all of a sudden you have 20 minions with a 25% chance to apply wither on hit. That's really tough to turn down. Mm-hmm. And they changed it so that now just on the other side of that, the bone armor ascendancy is totally different.
Totally different.
Right. They got rid of that bone armor guard skill completely that I was nervous about with left click.
Okay.
So they added, right? They changed how the left click stuff works, right?
Yeah.
You can't do instant skills on left click. You can either hit a button, whatever button you want it to be, but it can't be left click, or you can do the skill pressure thing and add an instant support.
So what is it now?
So they got rid of bone armor completely, and they got rid of the 20% increased recovery rate, and they got rid of 20% more life for minions. All right, so there was four things. They got rid of everything except for basically you get 10% physical damage mitigation. It's based on how many minions are around you, but you're really not motivated to take that if you don't have 10 minions, right? So 10% physical damage mitigation for you and your buds or your minions. So they kept the 10% physical damage mitigation, but now they added, instead of 20% more life, which they now get actually in the node before, the keystone before, they get 20% more life in the keystone before. So you're not missing that. But now 40% of your minion life, they get it as energy shield as well.
Oh,
40%
cool.
of maximum life.
Sorry, is bone armor still a skill now? Or is it once
no,
you
now
have
it's just
that,
called
it's just
the ascendancy.
On...
Right.
Oh,
so
cool.
Now your minions, you get 20% more life from the node before it. But now they also get 40% of their life,
as
which...
Has.
If you're taking this, you're already investing in minion life. 40% of your minion's life is now energy shield for them as well, which is crazy. But then they completely... I immediately... My heart went out to Baron players, or Baron helmet players, Baron zombies, because they also added 1% of minion damage is leeched as life for me.
Oh, really?
So
that's
think about
cool.
this. I get 10 physical damage mitigation. My minions get 40% of their life as energy shield. They already have 20% more life. And is it 20% more life? Hang on. Oh, it's coming. Don't worry. I'm doing this the slowest way possible.
This would normally be cut.
Yeah, so the node before, minions get 10% more damage and 20% more life, which... that life they didn't have before anyway. So that's huge. But then I get 10% physical damage mitigation. Minions get 40% of their life as ES, and I get 1% of their damages leached to me. And that
that's
was the whole
cool.
perk of the Baron helmet, that your zombies could actually leech to you. So I actually didn't check to see if that helmet changed or not. I probably should have before I commented, but that's so cool because the one thing I didn't like about being the necromancer was feeling like I had to use bone armor. The skill. Mm-hmm. Like, I would take that selection. It's very good. It's very defensive. It's great for me and my minions. But now I have this instant skill that's just too good to ignore. So I have to use it. That's one of my buttons already. Now I don't have to. It's fantastic. I am so in love with this change. But unfortunately, it changed... Yeah, and I'm going zombies. I did that. Remember, like, a few leagues ago, I was, like, doing all this testing with the Guardian to see, like, maybe this is going to be the new one. And then that was the league right after I put all this effort in and all these resources into testing the Guardian. That's when they changed the Guardian to being what it is now.
Right.
And I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So I'm like, well, all that testing was for nothing. I'm back to Necro. So now I'm testing, okay, I'm going to stick with Necro, but am I going Reaper or am I going Zombies? Am I going Reaper or am I going Zombies? And I finally decide Reaper after all this extensive testing and using my personal time. And then they change Necro to this, and I'm like, well, I can't, like, Unholy Might? I'm not using that with the Reaper. Like, it'll be strong with the Reaper, but I'll get way more benefit with the Leech and the Wither Chance if I have 20 minions going on. Like, the Zombie build does triple the damage of the Reaper build. And if I'm doing Leech, come on.
That's
so
fun.
Yeah, I'm back to, like, all my testing's been for nothing the last year and a half. It's been pretty funny. But one's really exciting.
We got to wrap this up pretty soon because I got to go. But did they come out with new skills? Were there any new skills that are coming out with this?
Yeah, they had the war. Well, yeah, they had some. There were Sacred Wisps. It's for wand attacks.
Wasn't that just
and
a
it kind of like duplicates?
Or was it support?
No,
right,
it's a new one. Yeah, it's an intelligent support, and basically, it's like it doesn't. There's some skills that it doesn't work with, but. When you cast a skill, it has a chance to trigger, and they cast it as well.
Which they look cool, but were there any actual new skill gems?
Not support? Only transfigured gems.
Okay. Which is cool that they're catching up on those.
Well, if you have to go, what else? Ascendancy, pass a skill tree, unique. Oh, so many item changes. They added tattoos are back in the game.
I saw that. That's cool.
It was so great that they were willing to cut tattoos out. They kept the theme. Right, of who they're related to, per se, who they're tied to, right, the Kurui, but then they were able to, and good for you, GGG, they cut the umbilical cord from tattoos and the actual league content. They kept the league out, but they kept put tattoos in. I mean, they're not the best that the tattoos were,
still
but
fun.
So good to be able to change your passive points. Oh, how great is that? Strong boxes show up on the mini map. Going to be a... Oh, this wasn't in the patch notes, I don't think. It was only in the Q&A. There's now going to be a keybind for using your portal scroll, so you don't have to bring up your inventory to use your scroll.
Oh, cool.
You still have to have scrolls in your inventory, but... Right. So now we're one step away... Oh, and I think he also spoiled that there's no portal scrolls in Path of Exile 2.
Good.
So now it's just like your cooldown, and it's like Diablo 3 was. I don't know about Diablo 4.
Funny, though, that they say there's no portal scrolls in PoE 2 now, when in the last demo they showed it was during XLCon 2, where people were trying to use the portal scrolls, but it was a timer and stuff. So
yeah,
it is funny how fluid they are still in their like development for PoE 2.
Right.
But that's cool.
Strongbox modifiers can no longer roll plus 2 or higher. Can only roll plus 1. Cycling damage reduction is way worse. Instead of it rolling between damage reductions, monsters now are resistant to the highest damage type they take. In other words, if you only do one damage type, monsters that have cycling damage reduction, which is now called adaptive resistances, if you only do one type of damage, they're 90%. Yeah. They take 90% reduced damage against you until they're dead. Just permanently.
I think that that's not terrible, though. I mean, it's better than them just being flat out immune and you are waiting.
But there was no immunity before, was there? They was still capped at 90.
No, they just didn't take any. So if it cycled to fire, they took zero fire damage.
Wait, that's stupid. I didn't know that they took none. I thought it was still capped at 90.
No.
I thought
at least with capping at 90, you can still fight through that a little bit. But it's better than just being flat out immune to a certain type. And you also never knew which one it was currently on. So you'd be, blow your load on something. And all of a sudden they're just like, nah, didn't feel it.
You know what? Just blow your, whenever you can, just blow that load. You just go for it. And then what else? There's notifications for when you unlocked a crafting option now for your map device. You can click all of a specific, we've talked about this, all of your currency, like chaos orbs or divines or whatever, with one click. They added the thing for six linking, right? Fusings or jewelers, you just hold it down as opposed to clicking, which is great. This isn't a feature, GGG. This is like a complete oversight that you finally fixed, but being able to see your item when you're in the crafting station, mm-hmm. just permanently displaying your item, that's not a feature. That's the way it should have always
Especially
been.
Especially because it works everywhere else.
Right. You don't brag about that. You just do it. And then there were a whole bunch of fixes. I mean, there's so much stuff that we didn't talk about. We tried to blow through it, but we got caught up on the things that really excited us right off the bat. And I can't wait, man. Yeah. I can't wait. Like, the changes to the Necromancer for me personally are extremely exciting. And just the prospect of adding the pressure for that instant skill. Do I want to now add a guard skill to my build? I mean, now I'm definitely taking Unholy Might. Do I get rid of the block chance or do I get rid of the Commander of Darkness? So good. But choices. I'm definitely taking those three keystones at the bottom on the south side of the Necro now. And man, just I'm so excited to just get into the game and just play. Like, I'll play the league, but I don't care about that. Like, I'm so excited to just get into mapping and see what the new system's like, see how the new rolling's like, see how the scarabs like, see how the blocking's like, see how the Atlas passives are like. I mean,
especially because that's core. That's not going away.
Oh, so yeah, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, cool. We're going to have to wrap this up, though, because I know there's more to talk about, but I'm on vacation and I've got stuff to do. So
right.
Let's see
thank
now.
Thank you for making time.
No, I was happy to. It was fun. We'll have to see if it uploads. I'm on hotel internet, so I'm going to start uploading it today, and hopefully, what's today, Friday? Hopefully by Sunday morning.
Watch. They're going to cut your internet.
Yeah, they're going to.
Sorry, you're
data.
Using up too much bandwidth. That's right.
That's right. Okay, so let's wrap this up then. Forever Exile 233. I'm Justin AK Tags.
I'm Tyler Wrecker of Days.
Patrons, we will catch you in After Dark, which it's been recorded. It was we had a blast, and you'll also hear the pre. Well, if this makes it out, patrons will hear what the intro would have been for.
Oh, for right, yes, because we recorded that right in the middle of recording.
It was
After
an accident,
Dark.
Just like popped out right. of nowhere.
Yeah, so if this fun. Didn't work out, Justin and I recorded just a 30-second blip of saying, like, well, we tried to record. It didn't work out. Thanks for listening. This is a 30-second, 233rd episode.
See you next time.
Have a good time. Right. That's what you're going to get if this doesn't work.
Yeah. So, patrons, thanks for the support. You can check us out in After Dark. And everybody else, we'll see you next week in 234. If you're looking for more information, you'll find down below. We've got a website, foreverxl.com. We're on Twitter, foreverxl2. We have a very fun Discord. Pop in there. Say hi in the community. And Patreon and other ways to support the podcast. You'll find them down below and on the website. Bye.
You're just too good, man. You're too good. Love ya. Oh, wait. I don't hit anything.
No, I think I hit this. This is not how this should end. But bye.